Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is God's Word. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus knew that literally within hours he would be hanging on the cross. Jesus knew that he was about to be betrayed by Judas, who had already gone to set it up. Jesus knew that Peter would deny him three times before dawn, and knew that the disciples weren't really understanding a lot of what he was saying. But he says, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he will remind you of the things that I've said. And thank God, all of his promises are kept. And now we have this record of what Jesus said. The main point today is a simple one. There are bunches of vital points in this passage. But the main point is this. Jesus is the only way to be reconciled with the Father. This Christian faith, this good news, is not about a belief system. It's about a relationship. That is not to say that what we believe doesn't matter. It matters enormously. But what we believe is rooted in a relationship with God that only God can make possible. God created man in his own image and likeness. Male and female, he created them in his image and likeness. And we blew it. Adam and Eve sinned, and it brought spiritual death to every future generation. You and I are born with one foot in a bear trap. We've got a problem from the start. And how can we fix it? We can't. All the different religions are ways to try and make things right, and it doesn't work. No one, the Bible says, is going to be justified by their works. No one is made righteous in God's sight by what we do. What are you saying, people don't do anything good? I'm saying even the best of what we do is corrupted by sin. So what hope is there? Well, the hope is in Christ Jesus. God became a man, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, and then on the cross took the punishment, the wrath of God that we deserve. This makes it possible for us to receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ and be reconciled with the Father, which was the goal of his coming. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever trusts in him would not be destroyed, but would have everlasting life. But the next verse, not as often quoted, but vitally important, is that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. The purpose of Jesus' coming was salvation. And yet the problem with Jesus' coming was that the light has come into the world and men preferred the darkness because our deeds are evil. We don't want to be found out. We're not ready to cry out for rescue.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do three things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and He's holding out His hand. But the waves are calling.
Folks who are desperately in need of help, and yet not willing to receive it. Jesus came to save sinners. In case you wonder, that means you qualify. Okay? You and I qualify because all the good stuff we try and do doesn't make up for the fact that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we can't fix it ourselves. I use my soup illustration from time to time. My wife just made some fabulous turkey soup. She had kept the leftover turkey in the refrigerator, or in the freezer. Not in the refrigerator at this point, it would not be good. She kept it in the freezer, and now she's thawed it out, and she made soup. She makes delicious soup. But if in the process of her making the soup, she had accidentally thrown up, or even for that matter, sneezed into the soup, we would not say, well, just let it cook a little longer. Okay? That would spoil the whole batch. And our lives have been spoiled by our sin. All of us have messed it up. The only way we can be reconciled with the Father is through Jesus Christ. His righteousness credited to our account. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And so verse 6, Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He tells them, you know the way to the Father, and they say, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He says, I'm the way. When He says, you know the way, He's talking about the fact they know Him. Jesus came as God with us. But being reconciled with God means something more than just having Jesus with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Look at verses 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you, Emmanuel, and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. When we are forgiven of our sins and given new birth, God comes to live in us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27 makes it very clear that this is what it's all about. This is the purpose. Colossians 1, 25 through 27. I've become its servant, that is, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the purpose. It's not just that we'd be forgiven. It's that we'd be made new. He comes to live His life in and through us. That's the plan. 1 John tells us we're going to be made like Him. And we'll see Him face to face. We won't just be beholding His glory. We will be glorified That's the last stage of salvation. Salvation isn't just an event where you get forgiven. That's the way, tragically, lots of people think of it, but it's not what the Bible teaches. I have been saved. I was a little kid, and God broke through and changed me. I was saved. I am being saved. I am still a work in progress. That's sanctification. Justification, sanctification. But I'm going to be saved. Glorification. Complete consummation in glory. Hallelujah. This isn't as good as it gets. You understand? I'm so glad. I mean, some days I see the Lord at work in me and I'm just amazed by his grace. Other days I see my flesh and I am amazed by his grace. Okay? Why in the world God hasn't just turned me into a pile of ash on numerous occasions that I still go back to in my mind and I think, oh God, how could you love me? Well, because he sees me as righteous in Christ Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So, Jesus came as God with us, but his sacrifice makes it possible for God to be in us. I want you to see also in this passage, Jesus emphasizes repeatedly, as he says elsewhere, that he only said and did what the Father told him to say and to do. Verse 10, verse 24, verse 31. Let me tell you that again, and you ought to jot that down. Verse 10, verse 24, and verse 31. Jesus only said and did what the Father told him to say and do. That's why he had absolute authority. But the consequence of that, Jesus tells us that that's the nature of his relationship with the Father. But he also tells us, therefore, that if we are in that relationship with him, we're going to be that way. Increasingly, we will do what he tells us to do and say what he tells us to say. Look at verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Look at verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Look at verse 23. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Do you sort of feel like Jesus is emphasizing this for a reason? He is. It is sheer folly. It is blatantly dishonest for us to say that we love God and refuse to do what he says. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus says elsewhere, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? How many of you would say that within the last, 3 years, there have been occasions where you didn't do what God said? Let me see. Okay, I'm sorry. If you didn't get your hand up, you're not paying attention. All of us still mess up. All of us still need grace. The question is, what's the trajectory of your life? Does it grieve you when you sin? Does it bother you? Do you think, oh, I blew it again? Or do you say, hey, lightning didn't strike. I guess it's okay. What's your attitude? Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. If you don't find that as a description of your life, cry out to him for mercy. Say, God, please, I want to love you as I should. Please change me. Please change me. Last point. Jesus says in verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, what do I do if my heart is troubled? Don't let it. What do you do if you've got a two-year-old that's in your care? You're in control. I can't control that child. You must. Because if you don't do it when the child is two, it's not going to be a pretty thing when that child is a teenager. And it's not going to be a pretty thing when that child is an adult. You're saying that I can control my heart when it comes to being troubled? Yes. On what basis do you say that? You don't even know my heart. No, but God does, and he tells his children, okay, if the Holy Spirit isn't living in you, then good luck. But he tells his children, do not let your heart be troubled. Well, how do I keep from it? Trust in God. Trust also in me. When I feel those feelings of a troubled heart, I have to choose to redirect toward the Lord and say, okay, God, I feel crummy about this. I feel very nervous about this. But you didn't tell me that I'm supposed to live by my feelings. You told me to trust in you. And so, Lord, regardless of what I'm feeling right now, regardless of the thoughts that are bombarding my mind right now, I'm redirecting toward you. I trust in you. I know your word is true. I know that you keep your promises. I know that I can depend on you. Go back to what you know. Take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. And rejoice in the fact that God always keeps his promises. Rejoice, as I have said to you repeatedly. Corrie ten Boom used to say, there's never a panic in heaven. This caught you by surprise, didn't catch God by surprise. You find this to be overwhelming, God doesn't. So many things, as we read the scriptures, we think, how could God let that happen? Jesus' mother surely didn't want him to go to the cross. Peter, his buddy, surely did not want him to go to the cross. But Jesus not only went to the cross, he says to his followers, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have to die daily. This is upsetting. Well, unless you realize this is the way to life. Unless a seed falls into the ground, dies, it can't bring forth new life. And you and I have to die to our old sinful self. We have to say no to our desires and trust in God. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Those are your alternatives. You can let your heart be troubled and be miserable and a crummy witness, or you can trust in God. But you're saying it's not about how I feel. No, it's about what you do. It's about what you do. Well, what am I supposed to do if I trust in God? Obey what he says. That's what he tells us. If you love me, you'll obey me. But it's scary to obey. What he's asking me to do is get out of the boat and walk on the water. There's a storm going on. Yeah, Jesus is bigger than the storm, more powerful. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do what he says. He will not fail you. He came to save.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.